subject, the general subject about which I wish to speak this morning, deals with Akedas Yitzchak. But I think that the subject far transcends merely the story of Akedas Yitzchak. Maybe it is even the greatest lesson to come out of Akedas Yitzchak, but I believe that there are other places in the Torah where the principle about which I am going to speak manifests itself. But more important, I think that in human experience, we will all come to recognize that about that which, this general principle about which I am going to speak, is one that that affects our lives and our decision making. And I believe that I will strike a respondent chord, in that you will see that it is one that we all have to come to grips with. Let me follow what I have developed as my own style and set forth for you a set of observations and questions. And I will beg your indulgence to hold off, to pull them all together until I have put all the questions or all the matters on the table, and then we will attempt to tie them together. The Akedah is, of course, found in Parshas Vayera. Told that the Rabbeinu Shlalem tested Avram, and he said, "Kachna, please take as binchos yechidcha, your only son, asher ahavta, that you love, as Yitzchak, the lech lecha, and go el eretz Maria, to the land of Maria, va'aleu sham la'ela, and bring him there for a sacrifice, alacha dehovim, on one of the mountains, asher ema elacha, that I will tell you about." And Rashi, on the words kachna, says, "Please take." Rashi brings a Gemara, brings it in a shortened form. We'll take a look at the text of the Gemara in length in a minute. Rashi says, "Ein na," God said to Avraham Avinu, "Please take." So Rashi says, "Ein no el loshen bakosha." No is a loshen of bakosha, a language used, word used when one asks. Omaloi, God said to Avram, "The bakosha mimcha, I ask of you, amoid loy bezah nesoyin, stand, please be able to withstand this test, shelo yoinlu, that the world shall not say, Havashainos, the first nine tests that God had put Avram to, Lahaya Bahan Mamish, that there was nothing to them." The Gemara in Sanhedrin puts it this way. Amar Rav Shimon, Ein Noel Eloshin Bakosha, law is the Eloshin of asking. Moshe lemelech bosa v'dam, comparable to a moshe, an example, comparable to a king, she'omdu alav mechomes harbe, that he had many wars, v'hoyle giber echad, and he had a mighty warrior, v'notzron, and he was able to be victorious over his enemies because of this great warrior. L'yomim omdu alav mechom hachazoka, one day a very difficult war came upon him. I ask you, stand with me in this war. So that they shall say that the first ones that were the that those what you did there did not count. God said to Avram, "Nisasicha bekam minisyonis. I tested you with many tests. V'amadata bekulam, and you stood with all of them. You withstood all of them. Achshav amoyli b'nisoyin zeh. Stand with me in this test. L'yoyimlu ein mamish b'roshayim, so that they shall not say that in the first test there was nothing." It's almost inexplicable. Avram Avinu went through thick and thin. He went into the burning cauldron of the old Kazdin and exited alive. He whatever God did asked of him, he did. It's hard to believe of God asking anybody much more of anyone to he did in the Akedah, but that anyone should have the audacity to say Havashoinos Ein Mamish, that the first nine tests were really didn't count, is almost inexplicable. I mean, what could anyone say but that Avram's devotion to the Ribbono Shel Olam was total and complete? At the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, there is an interesting Medrash Rabba, right at the beginning. In the Kimei Vayera, at the beginning of the Akedah. I'm sorry. On the words Vayhi Achar Advorim Oela Vo Elokim Nisa Es Avram. So the Medrash brings a posik in Tehillim, Nosato Le'erecha Neis Lis Noises. You gave your to those who fear you, nays, a flag, these noises to flag, or to mipnei koshet, because of beautification, selah. And he gave him, the Medrash says, he gave him one test after another in order to really to basically to show off Avraham. The kolkach, mama, and all of this, because God wished to beautify the Keshet, you know, is to adorn. Bishvil, what was going to be adorned? The Medrash says, Bishvil said, Tiskashet Midas Adin Bo'olam, that Midas Adin, that the attribute that God runs the world with Midas Adin, with judgment, that this was going to be an adornment, that the Akedah was going to be an adornment, was going to be a like the crown jewel over Midas on how Midas Adin operates. Shim Yom Elachodim, if someone will tell you, the Mishu writes of Ahashir Masha, that God gives wealth to whoever he wants, and to whoever he wants he makes poor, and to who he wants he makes a king. Yochalat La Shiva, in other words, if they tell you that God acts by whim, Yochalat la Shiva, you can answer him, Belaimala, Yochalat la says, Kemosh us, Avram Avinu, can you do that which Avram Avinu did? Belaimah ma'asa, and he will say, what did Avram do? But Imelain, you will tell him that Avram ben Meir Shona be Volidloy, Avram was 100 years old when a child was born to him, the Acha Kolat Sagas, and after all of this pain, Noimaloi Kachno is Bincho, I told him, take your son, your only son, Veloi Ikev, and he did not hold back. Aveya, therefore, Nosatul Reacho, you have given to those who fear you, Nais, a flag, Lis Noises, to wave. You can wave the flag of how Midas Adin operates. Whatever happened here, we have to understand why this is called a Kishut, a kind of adornment for Midas Adin. Why is what happened in the Akedah a kishut, a kind of adornment, the crown jewel of Midas Adin? The Medrash, on the words Vayimel Hashem El Avram Lech Lecha Me'atzucha Me'ladetucha, and the Medrash here in Vayera on the prosik of Lech Lecha El Eretz HaMoriah, The Medrash says, Amar Rab Levi. The Levi says, Levi Bach Yosef says, Beis Pamim, two times, Ksiv Lech Lecha. It says in the Torah the words Lech Lecha. The Ein Anu Yodin, and we don't know, Eze Chaviva, which one is was more dear to God. Ima Rishayna, the first one when God said, Lech Lecha Me'atzecha. Ima Shniyar, the second one, time when God said, Lech Lecha L'Eretz Hameviah. We don't know which of the two was more dear to God. Bin Madach Siv, Lech Lecha L'Eretz Hameviah, when it says, go to the land of Maria, the second one was Chaviv, was more dear than the first, because it told him exactly where he was going. The first time he told him, only go to the land that I will show you, and here he told him directly, El Eretz Samaria, to the land that I will show you. It's simply inexplicable. How could anyone think that Lech Lecha Me'atzecha, that leaving his land, his homeland, and Lech Lecha L'Eretz Samaria were, and going to the Mount of Moriah to accomplish the Akedah, that they were nisyonos of equal magnitude, and for which you would need a pasuk to tell you, no, they're not of equal magnitude. Eretz Moriah is greater. What is the similarity between the two? If you would ask anybody in the street, they would tell you, look, it was hard for Avram to pick up and leave his society, leave the world in which he came from. But please, Lech Lecha L'Eretz Hameviah was sacrificing his Yitzchak. How could anyone even conceive that the two are comparable? Vayhi bayom hashlishi, and it was on the third day that Avram Avinu left. Vayisu Avram es Einav, and Avram raised his eyes. Vayav es Hamokim Merochek, and he saw the place. He saw the Mount of Moriah from afar. Bayom Hashlishi. It was the third day. Of what significance is that it was the third day? And if it was the fourth day or the second day. Now, Rashi brings, and it's from a Medrash, that why did he wait 3 days? So it would be clear that Avram did not act precipitously, that Avram did not act without thinking, that this was not something that God told Avram, and Avram just did it out of impulse. But it seems to me that doesn't either answer the question why it was on the third day rather than the second day or the fourth day. The Medrash brings, Medrash Chava here in Vayera brings numerous sources of various things that happened by Yom HaShlishi. By Esther was by Yom HaShlishi. The numerous things that happened by Yom HaShlishi, but of course, the most significant one happening by Yom HaShlishi, by Yom HaShlishi refers to the third day of the separation, the third day by Yom HaShlishi of Matan Torah. It was the third day they were told to separate the Bayom HaShlishi, and on the third day of that separation, so the Bayom HaShlishi refers to Matan Torah, and the Medrash indeed says and Bayom HaShlishi, the Medrash says V'schus Hayom HaGimel, in the schus of the third day Shal Matan Torah of Matan Torah of the third in the schus of the Yom HaShlishi of Avram Avinu, because it said by Yom HaShlishi that this Takeda happened on the third day, therefore we were Zeuchet to Matan Torah, which took place by Yom HaShlishi. So now Matan Torah is also tied in to the Akeda, and we have to understand what is the tie-in between Matan Torah and the Akeda, the by Yom HaShlishi of Matan Torah took place because of the Bayom HaShlishi of the Akedah. Vayaras Amokim Merochek, and he saw the place from afar. It's interesting, he may have seen the place from afar, but why do we need to know that? Why is it important that Avram Avinu saw the Mount of Moriah
from afar, and assumed that he didn't see it.
Now, the Medrash tells us, what did he see? He saw that there was a cloud surrounding the mountain. He saw there was a cloud surrounding the mountain. Yitzchak saw there was a cloud surrounding the mountain. But Yishmael and Eliezer, who accompanied him, did not see the cloud surrounding the mountain. And therefore he knew that this was the mountain. He saw the Shekhinah basically on the mountain. All of this is very important. He had to know where to bring the Akedah, and which mountain to bring to do the Akedah on. But why is it of any significance that he saw the mountain from afar? And if he had seen it from near, and if the mountain, and if the cloud and the mountain had not been visible to him at 10 miles, and it was visible to him only at 1 mile or at 50 feet, and then what? There's a fascinating medrash on the Akedah. Tells us that when Avram was approaching the Akedah, Bolei Samuel Eitzel Avram Avinu, the Sotan, came to Avram Avinu. Omalai, he told him, Saba, Saba, you old man, Ibadata Libcha, you lost your heart. Ben Shinitin Lecha Lekuf Shona Atahelech Lesheichtei. This son that was given to you at 100 years of age, you're going to shecht him, you're going to slaughter him. So Avram said, I'm an askein. On that condition he was given to me. I mean, God gave him to me, I have to do what he wants. Then he has other discussions with him. Then the Mesotin hits below the belt. Amalai, he tells him, to Avram, L'mocher Eimelach, tomorrow they will say about you, Shevech Damat, that you're a murderer. Shevech Damat Achayev, you will be Chayev, you will be dealt with as a murderer. Sheshafat Domei Shavonecha, that you spilled the blood of your son. Amaloi, Amanas Kain.
All right.
Then the Medrash tells us that the Sotan saw that he couldn't make any headway with Avram and went on to Yitzchak. It's another discussion. But what was the Sotan telling him? Saba Sabi Badata Libcha. What was the Sotan telling him? The Sotan was trying to get to him. What did the Sotan want with this? Ultimately, anytime you find a reference to Samuel, to the Sultan, it means that this was part of the internal struggle that was going on in Avram. This is the Yetzer Hara talking to you. It wasn't somebody else's Yetzer Hara, it's Avram's Yetzer Hara talking to him. What was the dialogue that went on between the Sotan and Avram Avinu? What was the struggle that Avram Avinu faced here? Let me switch gears for a minute and turn to Parshas Pinchas. You remember that in Parshas Pinchas, Pinchas took on an awesome task. There had been an act of immorality between Zimri, and there was there was open and flagrant violation of of fundamental morality, and when he found them, he found Zimri and Cosby Basud, the Midianite princes, in the immoral act, Pinchas took a sword and killed both of them on the spot. And the Rashi tells us, and the pasuk starts out, Pinchas ben Elozo ben Aaron HaKohen Heshiv es Chamosim el Bnei Yisrael, that Pinchas, the son of Elozo, the son of Aaron, turned back my anger because he did an act of kanois. An act of kanois was an act of religious revenge, in a sense of religious justification, done on the heat of the moment, done in order to stop a horrendous chilul Hashem. And the Torah tells us, Pinchas, the son of Elozo, the son of Aaron. Why? So Rashi says. He says, because the Shvatim were on Pinchas' back. Because the Shvatim were mevazei, sorry, were ashamed Pinchas. And they said, Havi Yisem, have you seen Ben Putizu, the son of the one who fattened calves? That is, Shepitem Avi Imoy, that his grandfather fattened calves for Avodah Zarah. The Horag Nosi, and he then went and killed the Nosi, Zimri, Shevet B'Yisrael. And so they were on his back. They said, look, this Pinchas, all of a sudden this Pinchas gets is into acts of revenge for God's name. His grandfather, he had a grandfather who was who acted who was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, and here, this because this was in the context of Baal Peor, the Avodah Zarah Baal Peor, that was the function of Cosby to bring Klal Yisrael to the Avodah Zarah. And here he, Pinchas, is acting to revenge Avodah Zarah. Don't you believe it? Pinchas is, you know, this. Now, what exactly the Shvatim meant with that is hard to say, but maybe there either that he was insincere about it, or basically that Pinchas, by doing this act of revenge, was really being defensive. You know, that it really wasn't real. And, you know, I'm going to show you, right? Yeah. My grandfather was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, and the truth of the matter is, I really have some sympathy for this Avodah Zarah business. But in order, maybe in order to be defensive, I'm gonna do the act. I'll show you that, then we'll put down Avodah Zarah. The Kli Yoker even notes something more. He says, he should have, in fact, step back, because the Ratzon Yadur, where, you're going to say, Elozo, Pinchas is the son of Elozo. Elozo was married to a Midianite also. So he was going to say that you are now going to smite a Midianite, and Basisle Mihutalach, there's been Midianites married into your family. Again, I think that the point here is that this was highly defensive action on the part of Pinchas to make a point. And that who says that Pinchas was sincere about his act of kanois? The Ksav Sefer on this, on the Medrash, there's a very famous Medrash, Hineni Noisan Lois Brisi Shomayim, that the Bereshim says, I give him my bris of peace, So the Bereshim gives him the schar. So the Medrash says, "Bedin hu sheitlus roi." It's bedin that he should take the schar. So everybody has comments on this thing. Bedin hu sheitlus roi. What does it mean? Bedin hu, according to din, he should take the schar. So the Ksav Sofer says a very interesting thing. The Ksav Sofer says that most schar that we get out of our mitzvahs, he says, is not schar that comes bedin. He says because our acts of mitzvahs are basically tainted. I do a mitzvah, I want God to treat me well. I do a mitzvah, you give tzedakah, I'm nashi yichya b'ni, that my son should live. I do a mitzvah, and I'll treat you nice, God, you treat me back nice. There's always a pnia, there is always an act of, there is always the possibility in any event that that there's something less than total sincerity with the mitzvah. He says, but if somebody is Mesa Nafsha, and Pinchas put his life in danger because at the time Zimri's family could have knocked him off. He says, when somebody acts with total abandon to himself and acts Kula L'Shem Shemayim, that's Bedinu Shiitlus Roy. Nonetheless, I think that there's a need for a further explanation of what we mean here, Bedinu Shiyutu Scholar, Pinchas, and if you will, that there is a connection with Bedinu Shiyutu Scholar, with the din that Pinchas takes the Scha, and this concept of Midas Adin, of Kishut of Midas Adin, of adornment of Midas Adin through the Akedah. Let me preface my resolution to these mitroshim with a vote that I saw in the Avodas Yisrael from the Koshner Samagad. I repeat it often. It seems to me a very important yesod in how we go about doing a mitzvah and what happens when we do a mitzvah. On the posik, Vayoyim Meshlishi Vayisa Avum Es Eino Vayares Amokim Merochik, David Yisrael asks a very simple question. And the truth of the matter, all of the Mefoshim ask this question. We make a big to-do about Akedas Yitzchak. And he asks, what's the to-do? Avraham Avinu heard from God's mouth, God's words direct. God comes to Avraham and he tells him, Kachno es bincho es yechidcho asher ahavto es Yitzchak v'lech lecho el eretz hamoriah. That's pretty clear. He said, if you heard directly from God, he says, would a Jew would not do it? He says, what is going on here? What's all the shooting and howling about? So the Avodas Yisrael says something magnificent. And you'll see it in the Pasuk, and you'll never ever forget it after you hear it in the times. Avodas Yisrael says this. He says, when God gives us a commandment, he gives it to us with clarity. And then God steps back so that it loses its clarity. And all we have is, we have the tzibur, but we do not have it in its behilus. We do not have it in its clarity. And it's foggy.
And we then are required through our act of a mitzvah to jump over the chasm to accomplish dveikus. Because he said, if we had the clarity at the time of the mitzvah, there would be no bechira and there would be no nisoyim. You can only have bechira and you can only have a nisoyim if there is a job left for you to do. So God steps back and he says, that's what the pasuk is telling us. Vayom Hashlishi, it was the third day. Vayisa Avram es Einav, Avram raised his eyes. Vayares Hamokim, Hamokim means the Rabbeinu Shalom, right? Mekamei Shalom, Hamokim is a kinui for the Rabbeinu Shalom. Vayares Hamokim, he saw God, but merachay. Only from a distance. He was far away. We think that when we do a mitzvah, that when we have the vision of the Akedah, that that there was, and that the fires were burning, and that it was in, and Avram took it, and he felt a sense of ecstasy in doing the mitzvah. And what, in fact, Avram felt at the Akedah was distance and alienation. Not only did he feel distance and alienation, but if you look in the Sfas-Emes, you will see the Sfas-Emes says that the alienation was more profound, because since in fact it was not the will of God that he go through with the Akedah, his alienation was total. He had nothing but the tzivui, and he couldn't put it together. And always Avraham Avinu knew that when he did a mitzvah, he did it with Remach Evorah Veshesagido. There's a famous taich, from the Rebbe Mendel in Limanim. The Rebbe says, Vayishlach es yodis, and the Rebbe says, Vechazok. He picked up the knife to do the act, and he wanted to force in his hand, and the Rebbe said he had to do it Vechazok, with strength. And the Rebbe Mendel says, why? And he said, because his hand knew the will of God, because his all of Avram's Eivorim, all of his entire body was perfectly tuned to the will of God. And so that God didn't will it, and his hand didn't want to move. And he had to force his hand to move, because it wasn't the will of God. But what did Avram feel? Alienation. Not close to it. Distance. Felt distance. And I would like to suggest to you that the distance was of the most profound nature. I think that what the Sultan came to tell Avram, and what Avram was telling himself, what the Yitzhak was telling Avram, and what the Medrash says, the Sultan comes to Avram Avinu and he said, Sabo, Sabo, Ivadito Libcha, you old man, you lost your heart. Well, he's telling him, you're a senile old man. Who tells you that God said this? Tomorrow they're going to say about you, you're a murderer. And basically, what the Sultan was telling him is that you got it all wrong. That's not what God wanted. You had a bad dream. Sabo, Sabo, old man, you about to leave, you lost your mind, you lost your heart. What are you doing? Now, Avram here had a perfect doubt. I mean, it was now that he was being put in doubt, not about what... about what he should do, what he was put in doubt as to whether or not God wanted it. Now, where does Avraham Avinu go to check in? To whom does he ask?
Avraham Avinu said, Ichvil Zayin Afchumer, right? Ichvil Zayin Afchumer. I want to be an Elohim. I want to do what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants me to do. What am I supposed to do? You can't check. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave him the mitzvah. The tzivui is over with. There's no place to check in. The Sotan is telling him that it's not the Rotzon Hashem. He's telling him, tomorrow you're going to be a murderer. The act which you say that this is an act of sacrifice, it's not. You're a plain, flat-out murderer, Amram. He's all alone. He can't turn to the Rebbeinu Shalom and ask Rebbeinu Shalom what you want of me. Rebbeinu Shalom, tell to me a second time. Let me make it sure. Because if he tells him a second time, making sure the whole Akedah is gone. That's not what the Akedah is about. The Akedah is about an Nisoyin of distance. And he's now been put in a place where he has no place to check in. I think the same thing happened with Pinchas. Pinchas is faced with an act of kanois before him. Should he act on the moment to kill Zimri and Cosby? To avenge not only immorality, but basically this whole thing which is supposed to deal to idolatry. What the Medrash is telling us, what the Gemara is, it's more than the fact that the Shvatim were mevazeh him. What the Shvatim were going to tell him, and he knew it himself, was that Pinchas, you are either going to do an act of kanois, that is an act of being the kinoi Hashem, doing the will of God in this awesome way. If he is not a kinoi, what is he? He's a murderer. He's either a kinoi or a murderer, one of the two. And if he's not acting as a true kinoi, being the kinoi Hashem tzivokas, right? Then he is a common murderer. And there were all kinds of things that Pinchas was saying to himself. Pinchas heard the Litzonei Ado. He heard what they were saying. Before they said it, it was in his own mind's eye. Who says that my machshava is pure? Maybe I'm acting because I have a paniya with regard to Avodah Zorah, because my grandfather was an Ovid Avodah Zorah and my mother was a Midyanis, and I'm trying to make a point, but I'm not trying to, and if I'm trying to make a point, I'm not a Kanoi. And the halacha, who do you go ask? You can't, on the halacha of Kanois, you can't ask anybody, because the whole concept of a Kanoi is halacha v'ein meirin kein. You can do it, but nobody can pass to you the shara. You can't go ask. You are either doing it because you are a kanoi, or if not, you're off the wall. You're gone. So Pinchas put in jeopardy not only his Olam Hazeh, the fact that Zimri's family might kill him. He put in jeopardy his entire Olam Haba, because if in fact he was not pure, he's a murderer, and if he's a murderer, he's lost. Again, Pinchas has nobody to turn to. He has nowhere outside of yourself, outside of his own self, to turn to define what it is, what is the Ratzon Hashem.
seems to me that with this underlying principle, and that is that the Rabbeinu Shlalem gives you nisyonis, gives us all nisyonis, in which the issue is not, you can't go out of yourself to get the answer. You have to look within. My brother Shlomo Zichron Livracha once said that the Akedah was as great a test, not of how much Avraham Avinu trusted in God, but how much he trusted in the integrity of his own experience, how much he trusted in himself. You have to trust in the integrity of your own experience. The Rosh Hashanah Kodesh once said, the Gemara says, "B'chol yom v'yom baskel yetsa mehachayv." The baskel comes out from the Har Sinai. It says, "Shuvu banim shevin." And he said that any time a Jew has a hill of truth, it's from that baskel that comes out every day. So the question is, the baskel comes out every day, so why don't we all hear it? The answer is, we do all hear it, but we explain it away. It's indigestion. It was a mood that we have. It's sentimentalism, whatever it is, but it's not the baskel. Ultimately, there are tests that come to us, and the real tests are places where you can't open the Shulchan Aruch and say, "All right, now was it Seder?" Right? Because it's not the Shulchan Aruch. It is greater than that. There was it Tzivui. And now you have to be able to say, I know what the Rabbeinu Shlomo's Ratzon is. It may be unclear, it may be distant, it may be vague, but the integrity of my experience tells me that this is right. And I have to be willing to bet my all on it. I have to be willing to bet the entirety of my life on it, because if you can't do that, you can't act. I mean, you're going to be forced to make some choices, and they will not be clear in the way that Halach and Shulchan Aruch is clear. It will be clear in the depth of your soul. You're going to have to make some choices. You're going to have to bet on the strength of your experience. And it seems to me that this is what all these midrashim are talking about when they're talking about Midas Adin and the kishut, the adornment of Midas Adin. And it's what the Medrash was talking about at the beginning. The Rabbi Shlomo comes to Avram and he says, "Look, Avram," he said, "I'm going to ask you something right now." He said, "But it's going to be different, because now I'm going to leave you all alone. I'm going to leave you all alone, and you're not going to know in the same way that you knew up to now. You're not going to know what my Watson was. You're going to have to trust the length and the strength of our relationship. You're going to have to trust the truth of your own truth." And this is a kishut of Midas Adin, because this is a Midas Adin, it's in a sense, it's not Midas Adin, it's something asking of somebody to dig deep into themselves to know to that truth of without a paniyah. So the Rabbi Shlomo comes to Avraham and asks him, "I would like you to be able to show the world that all of the other times when you acted because you understood the truth of your experience, not because you had the clarity of the message. Because ultimately, we're going to have to teach Jews throughout the ages that there is going to be an avoda avayares amokim merochek. There will be a need over the ages to be able to to worship God, to serve God, even when we have profound alienation, even when we have distance, even when things are not clear, we're going to have to trust the truth of our experience. And you can't order. God couldn't order. The other, this year, God could tell Abraham what he wanted. This time he could only ask him. No, I can only ask of you, and please show the world that with this profound alienation, with this distance, where you have to dig deep into yourself to be able to withstand the Nisoyan. Where part of the Nisoyan will be, that it's, you're not doing the firm thing. That's not really what God wants. The Sefer came out from, they've just reprinted the Sefer from a Talmud of the sons of Ov. It was a relative also, Mishnah LeMelech. So he says a very interesting thing. He says that about the Akedah, he says that when God came to Avram and told him what he wanted, he says that what the Sultan wanted from Avram, he says, look, Avram, he says, you know how God deals with you. God gives you an assignment. God tells you about things, and he tells them with you because he wants you to be misfollowed to him. For example, in Stein Vameda, we're not redeemable, right? But what did God want? God wanted you to be misfollowed, to be Ma'ira Rachmim, right? Go ahead, be Ma'ira Rachmim. He says, that's Abraham, that's your Avoida. That's what you were put on this world for. And Avram didn't bite. He said, whether it works, it didn't work. He said, it didn't work by stand on Meir, but that's what God wants you to do. So start being Meir Rachim. He says this, and we say in the Siddur, and by the Akedah, in the morning, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, so he says, Avram was kodesh. His midas harachmim. What the Sultan wanted him to be ma'ir harachmim. He says that's what he was. That's what he was kodesh. But it's all, you see, the same. It's all the same thing. There was an attempt to bribe Avram Avinu with frumkeit. And you can't be bribed with that. If you know whether it's right, then you have to do what the integrity of your experience says, then you can't let yourself be bribed. It's frightening, it's awesome, you're alone, there's no one to check into because somebody's now, you're now being put in a terrible squeeze, but ultimately there is an answer within yourself. And that's why the Bayoim Ashlishi of the Akedah is the Bayoim Ashlishi of Matan Torah. Because ultimately, our ability to be Oivdei Hashem in Torah comes not only from the Bikorev, from worshipping God Bikorev, but it comes when we are berachik, when we are alienated, and when we are distant, and when we don't have clear perceptions of what is right, and then we have to be able to be oimid ben esoyin. And that by yom hashlishi, by yachas hamokim berachik, and the way David Yisrael tells us, is the yom hashlishi of Matan Torah. I would just close by saying that I think that that the two Lech Lechas are very much alike. When Avraham Avinu was told Lech Lecha Me'atzecha, he was told that he had no past. when he was told Lech Lecha El Eretz Emeria, he was told that he has no future. What does a Jew have? A Jew has, in reality, only the Ratzon Hashem, what the Ratzon Hashem is now. And maybe the only way, maybe the only way to come to grips with this ability to be able to deal with this alienation, the sense of distance, is to put away the time frame. You remember that what the Sotan said, we said, Saba Sabi Bhagata Libha, you old man, you lost your heart. Lemucha, tomorrow you will be a murderer. And Avram's answer was, I don't know what I'm gonna be tomorrow. I can't worship God tomorrow. And I certainly can't deal with my yesterday. I can only deal with the now. And if I am able to look at the moment now and ask myself, what will the Rabbeinu Shalom for me? Yes, now. Put aside the Sheikhad, because the past is the past bribes us in one way, ties us in another way. And the future bribes us in another way. We have all kinds of cheshbonos that we have to make for our past, apologies for our past, and the ties for our future, because after all, we run the world, so we have to be able to deal with the tomorrow. But if you can put them both aside and ask yourself, "What will the Rabbeinu Shalom for me? For me, yes. What does he want from me now?" Then we have the Keches HaNefesh. Then, if we dig deep into ourselves to come up with the answer. It stood with Avraham Avinu Be'akeda. It stood with Pinchas when he faced his Nisayon. And there is an ultimate Siyata Dishmaya if you ask that question right, that we can dig deep into ourselves. It's lonely. No place to go. No place to check it out. You can't call your Rosh Yeshiva on the line and say, give me this answer. And when this lecture was announced as one dealing with existentialism, it is quintessential existentialism. It is the essence of existentialism. You are now, by your act, going to define who you are. You can't ask the Rabbeinu Shalom. You can't ask anybody else. All of that is all gone. That's all in the past. Now you have to. Now it comes rug cutting time. Now the human being has to face himself. How he acts defines what kind of Avod Hashem he is. And God can't command it. All he can do is ask for it. That's why the Akedah is Kach Na, Ein Na. Hello, Lushan Bakosh.